Today on Seculo, President Biden issues a warning saying a battle between Ukraine and Russia will be the biggest since World War II. So why aren't other European countries ready to fight?
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
But it'll be enormous consequences worldwide. This would be the largest, if you were to move in with all those forces, it would be the largest invasion since World War II. It would change the world.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
There is not going to be any American forces moving into Ukraine.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
There are U.S. forces in Ukraine right now, though, doing training of Ukrainians. And remember, it was the U.S. State Department that said, Americans, get out. We're not going to get you out. So if you believe that it's imminent, and now the prediction is sometime mid-February, so a few weeks, that there'll be some kind of Russian aggression, what about the troops that are there in the training that are internal in Ukraine? But again, this goes to a bigger issue, which is that the president is claiming this will be the biggest invasion since World War II. And I think the question we have to ask today is, one, if that's true, why are other European nations unwilling to fight? Why is NATO so disengaged from this potential conflict? But two, is that just a way to raise the bar so high that anything else that Russia does that doesn't that isn't equal to Hitler invading Poland in World War II? So if it's not equal to that, then it won't be as big of an international event, and thus the Biden administration can try to claim that they, you know, some kind of victory because the incursions were smaller. So they're setting the bar so high for what they predict. But then again, if they really do believe that, why are we going to fight Europe's war? Why? I mean, they have not been able to tell us that. No one has sat down, the Secretary of State, President Biden, no one has said, why does the U.S. need to go about this alone when NATO can't agree what to do? Where is when Germany is ignoring this because they want to deal with Russia? What about the U.K., France? I mean, where are these countries, these major militaries that we have been working with, training with, funding, arming for decades since World War II for a moment like this, just in case this ever were to occur? And yet they're nowhere to be found. So they just assume the U.S. will show up and somehow save the day, or they just don't care about the sovereignty of Ukraine. It's just not a big enough issue to most of Europe and the part of Europe that would have the weaponry and military power to actually do something about it. So I think it's twofold. I think on one hand, they could be raising the bar so high that anything else looks kind of minimum and looks like a small incursion, or two, this idea that the U.S. has to come save the day, which I don't think the American people support.
Yeah, well, Denmark's sending a frigate, and I think we're also looking at one other situation.
We do have a Supreme Court retirement, CNN reporting. Whoa, this is breaking news. Justice Breyer will be retiring from the court. So that would give...
Okay, let me explain.
That's interesting timing with a 50-50 Senate. There's no filibuster. There's no filibuster to get confirmed.
Yep.
So this would give Joe Biden an opportunity to replace a liberal with a liberal.
Yeah. I think probably what I'm going to suggest is, and maybe we do this, do we come down on Facebook and come up on this so it's fresh? Our radio audience, we're going to get into this. Obviously, it changes what we're going to discuss, but we can discuss Russia tomorrow or even later in the broadcast. But this is very, very significant. We're trying to get some confirmations on this point right now. Obviously, this is, I'll tell you what the confirmation process is. Let's get Than Bennett, if he's available, to come on as well, and we'll go through the process and what it means. It's a big moment in Supreme Court history with Justice Breyer, if that in fact is the announcement. I've been litigating before him since he was on the court. All right, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. Well, obviously, this is breaking news with the now CNN reporting that Justice Breyer is, in fact, going to retire from the Supreme Court at the end of the term is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, NBC also confirming that. SCOTUS blog, it's basically everywhere. So we'll be right back on Seculo. Share with your friends and family when you see it come back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secular. So we've got breaking news. We're going to continue to cover, of course, Russia, Ukraine, but there's breaking news. A Supreme Court retirement has been announced. Justice Breyer, liberal justice from the Supreme Court, has announced his retirement. The report is that he has let the White House know. I mean, likely he'll be retiring at the end of the term after the briefing is done, because he's still been active in the current cases. He, again, set to retire. Now, what does that mean? It means that Joe Biden, President Biden, will get a nominee to the Supreme Court. Now, it will not shift the balance of the court when it comes to votes. I think that's safe to say. When it comes to things that are kind of the conservative versus liberal major votes. But certainly the person who replaces Justice Breyer, who was seen as kind of a pragmatic but pretty liberal, but trying to be pragmatic on some issues, could be replaced with a very radical liberal, well, and I'm sure the pressure will be on the White House to put someone forward who is to the left of anybody who's on that court right now, unless there was a move like that to move Kamala Harris out of politics,
right,
so that Joe Biden can bring in a new VP to try to, as we've talked about, like a 2.0 in his administration. So there's a lot of what ifs here. The one thing we know, though, is that there is going to be a Supreme Court nomination battle. There is no filibuster on this. We can go. I'll go to Than Bennett right away in Washington, D.C. Than, important to note, Democrats did away with the filibuster for judicial nominees all the way through the circuit court. Republicans, during the Gorsuch nomination, did away with the filibuster for the Supreme Court. So it's a 51 vote, and that's how, again, that's how close the Senate is right now.
Yeah, it really ties into the conversation we had last week, Jordan, about the legislative filibuster. If you make a change to the filibuster, it is going to apply to both parties. And when the Democrats pulled down the judicial filibuster for lower court nominations, it was always going to apply to the Supreme Court. Of course, it does now. So you're right, Jordan. We're at a 50-vote threshold in the United States Senate, plus the tie-breaking vote of the president of the Senate, which, of course, is Vice President Harris. And, Jordan, I mean, you know this better than most. The scuttlebutt just starts immediately. I mean, my phone is filled with potential replacements. And you're right. Even though I think it's a little bit of a long shot, the one that I'm seeing the most often, it's actually Vice President Harris.
But here's the thing that you have to understand, though. Justice Breyer, although a liberal member of the Supreme Court, is considered a moderate. Okay, if you look at it, believe it or not,
yeah, right.
He's left to center, obviously. But if I look at our cases, there's been a series of cases where Justice Breyer has agreed with our position. There's a series of cases where he hasn't. But he is more of a centrist moderate than Elena Kagan or even Sotomayor, although Elena Kagan has been more moderate than people think. The pressure here, the pressure point on this is going to be to appoint someone who is very, very progressive and very, very liberal on this. And again, it's not a vote that changes the court's outcome because it's replacing a justice with a liberal justice. I'm actually a bit surprised he did it because I know the pressure that they put on him. They had billboards up about him, but he's been in great health, and he is, as far as we know, and seemed very strong during the oral arguments, and his questioning was no different than it was when I was before him 25 years ago. But there's going to be a big fight over this.
Absolutely. So I think the left will attempt to put a progressive globalist elite individual on the United States Supreme Court. I suspect they are salivating. So they will seek to place on the court someone who gets approval from either AOC or Senator Warren. And so I really think what we will get is a pure, complete ideologue on the Supreme Court who will replace Justice Breyer. And I think it will make for more fireworks on the court and probably a greater outburst that will be carried by the press. So I think they will be unrestrained, or at least that's what they hope. And so if you look at anyone who is probably above the age of 35, somewhere between 35 and 55, they are now in play, particularly if they are ideologues.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I think you're going to have a lot of pressure from the like you said, the left wing of that party is going to be very intense on the president to select someone that meets their criteria for what they would like to see in a Supreme Court nominee.
My question, Jay, is, and perhaps you know the answer, or Than does, playing out the hypotheticals, if they were to nominate the vice president to go to the Supreme Court, there's a 50-50 Senate. Is she allowed to break the tie to vote for herself?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
She's the president of the Senate.
Okay.
So her role doesn't change.
Yeah, I was wondering that. I mean, the nominee, would she need to step down
Vice president? No, because they served as 10th Circuit Court of Appeals judges until they were confirmed to Supreme Court of the United States. So, no, she wouldn't have to do that. If they did that, I mean, there's speculation on this. We're not hearing anything from the White House on this point.
No.
It would be an interesting double play, though, Andy, to do that, because there's a lot of tension between the vice president and the president's office. We know that it's in all the media's covering that. So this would bring a whole different perspective, I think.
Oh, I think it definitely will. I think it would, if the president were to nominate Kamala Harris, he would be able to eliminate some of that tension by literally kicking her not upstairs but across the street and putting her in the Supreme Court of the United States, and then putting someone as vice president, which he then would get the right to appoint, who would be a more amenable and more consistent with his own policies. But I agree with my colleagues, we're going to get someone who's to me the left of Breyer, no doubt about it, and who's going to be an ideologue of the left. And the left is going to be pushing the president very, very hard to get someone on there who is a left-wing ideologue of the harshest, leftist, most variety.
But it's also to understand there is no, like you said, there's no filibuster on Supreme Court justices. So that doesn't happen. And I really think, Than, what the battle here, I mean, he nominates, there'll be a process, but his nominee's getting through.
I mean, I think that's likely, Jay, but it sets up a very interesting political dynamic. I fully agree with your assessment that it's going to be somebody to the left of Breyer. But I mean, think about this, Jay. This has to happen before the midterms if the Democrats lose control of the United States Senate, if that nominee is going to get confirmed. So, I haven't seen details on whether or not Justice Breyer is going to wait for the confirmation before he steps down or how that detail has worked. But just think about it this way, Jay. If it's going to happen this year, they cannot afford to lose a single vote vote in the United States Senate. Now, look, it's a much higher hurdle to lose a vote on a Supreme Court nominee. But look at the last few major pieces of legislation that have been put on the floor. They've not been able to rally those troops. So they are going to have to nominate someone who can get all 50 votes.
You know, what's interesting here is, have they specified when Justice Breyer will step aside? Are they saying upon at the end of the term or upon confirmation of a successor? I'll tell you why that makes a difference.
I don't think we've seen that yet specifically.
If there is a time, if he's stepping down before the confirmation of someone, okay, that would mean an 8-8 court, there could be ties. Okay. But the fact is, the replacement vote, you would assume, is going to be no different than Justice Breyer's actual vote. So I think that's how this plays out. So no matter, we'll find out more of the timing as this goes on. But the fact of the matter is, I think if we're being clear, the historic aspect of this is Stephen Breyer served for a long time. As I said, and you have too, we've had a very good relationship with him on a personal basis and in court. He's always asked hard questions, but it's never mean-spirited. And we've talked to him at various events we've been at and have spent time with him. You know, again, you're going to see a replacement. It's going to be, how far left is that replacement? It will be further left, Harry, than Stephen Breyer.
I think that's right.
Who's a Ted Kennedy nominee?
But there is a slight risk, and I would emphasize only a slight risk, that Senator Manchin might balk at someone who's incredibly far to the left. But that's only a guess, I would say, right now. That's a long shot. And so I think President Biden will not want to make a huge mistake by nominating someone who's so offensive that Senator Manchin balks. So that would probably be the only break or limitation on
that would play out during that part.
Biden. I don't think he balks on a far left Albany. I mean, he didn't balk on any of the other Kagan or Sotomayor.
I tend to agree.
Very liberal on Kagan, who had no experience in the judiciary at all, came out of Harvard Law as dean. I mean, you can't think much more liberal than a Harvard Law dean. These days you can, but at the time. I think that, again, there's a lot of things that go into play with this. One is, this is going to have to move pretty quickly because of midterm elections.
Yeah.
I mean, so this was definitely a calculated political move. Justice Breyer saw the writing on the wall that likely the Senate's flipping and the House is flipping, but for his purposes, the Senate flipping. And so you got a Democrat president for right now. If you got a Democrat Senate, even with one vote, at least you'd be replaced with someone with your similar ideology.
And they could still sit on the court. You know, they sit on lower courts once they retire from the Supreme Court. Justice Souter does that now. Justice White, until he passed away, was doing it as well. So did Justice Stevens. So it's not like they're not doing anything, but they will not be on the Supreme Court of the United States. Fascinating. Wow, big development. We'll talk more about it when we come back from the break. If you got questions, 800-684-3110. What do you think? 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls this. So if you've got questions about what is obviously something we watch very carefully, this will not affect current cases at the U.S. Supreme Court that have been, you know, had oral argument and opinions that are coming this summer. Some reporting saying that he is retiring at the end of this term. That would be different than waiting until the new justice was confirmed,
right,
which could leave for a short period of time a 4-4 court, which right now is actually kind of like a would be a 5-5. Let's say 6-2.
Well, if he's staying to the end of the term, here's the interesting dynamic, and that is it makes this battle in the summer because the term is usually not over till the last decision's rendered. That's usually the first week of July. So the political aspect of this is pretty clear. I understand why Justice Breyer wants to finish his term, but it's going to make this a pitched battle right before the midterms.
Well, that's exactly right, Jay. And I think what Than said is correct. This is probably very calculated on the part of everybody who is involved, seeing the possibility that the Senate might flip in the midterms. The president, his popularity is sinking. He has wars and rumors of wars in Europe, a lot of things happening. So Justice Breyer, after 27 years, wants to perpetuate keeping a liberal on the court. And he says, this is the time to do it. We better do it while we still have control of the Senate, hopefully for them. I mean, it's up to them, Manchin, Sinema, whoever, some of the more moderates might not go with it, but this is the time to do it. And I think you're right, Jay. The battle is going to be in the summer, if not sooner.
I think the other aspect of this, Than, how do you think, explain to everybody what the process is going to look like.
Yeah, so the process, once there's a nominee, it will be sent to the United States Senate and assigned to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Of course, J.R., all of our listeners are probably going to remember the hearings from Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Barrett, and others. That we would go through a series of hearings there, and ultimately the Senate Judiciary Committee would take a vote. Now, the nominee, Jay, just so our listeners are clear, does not have to have a majority on the Senate Judiciary Committee to move to the floor, but just for informational purposes, there are 11 Democrats and 11 Republicans on that committee. So it's entirely possible that a nominee would move out of the committee with a tied vote, 11 to 11, and then move to a tied Senate to take a vote. Jay, one thing I just wanted to put out there, just so people remember this, President Biden, when he was campaigning, he did pledge that he would put a woman of color on the court if a nomination were to open up. So if he stays true to that, Jay, it does narrow the scope quite a lot. I think when he made that pledge, there were only 5 women of color on the circuit Court of Appeals. Not that he has to draw from that list, but they were all up in age as well. So another name that I'm hearing, Jay, just to say it, is Ketanji Jackson, who's a judge on the D.C. Circuit Court. I think she's 51 now. So that would be someone that's going to get a lot of attention.
There's also Leandra Kruger. She's on the California Supreme Court. She is African-American woman, was a clerk to Justice Stevens. It's only 45 years old. California Supreme Court. And there is a South Carolina district court judge who's up for the D.C. circuit right now, Michelle Childs, also African-American woman, about that, looks like at that age between 45 and 50 years old. So, I mean, like they had said, he probably narrowed it by the pledge he made, but he knew that going into that pledge. So they're going to hold him to that, I think, the left and his party. Kamala Harris would also meet that standard. I mean, I think that would be an outlier. We look at that as a political move because she has not performed great as vice president. She would still be a liberal, trustworthy vote in the Supreme Court. And President Biden would be allowed to bring in a whole new team for his second in command.
And she's a member of the United States Senate. So she was formerly. So there's a little Senate courtesy that's still part of the process even in these times. She would be confirmed immediately.
I think she's definitely on the list.
Yeah, I think that there's a political calculation, though, with that, because it disrupts your whole
But
White
she
House
might be
operation.
Disrupting it enough right now.
Yeah,
with
I mean, this is a big moment. But this is, we want to take your calls at 800-684-3110. And I do want to say something here. That is, look, I've been litigating cases before the Supreme Court for 4 decades. Andy's been on a lot of those cases with me. Jordan's been on the last 2 decades, has been on a lot of those cases. And I don't view these justices ever as the enemy. I just never thought that was the role of the lawyer. We're members of the bar of the court. We're counselors to the court. We're officers of the court. And we disagree, obviously. But like I said, there's been times. Justice Breyer has cited opinions of the briefs of the American Center for Law and Justice. I suspect Harry, his replacement, probably will not.
I think that's a good bet. And I would also guess that the only time we will get cited is because they will want to attack our argument. And so it's very, very unlikely that the ACLJ will be cited by Breyer's replacement favorably.
Yeah, I think that's, that's part of the process here. You know, when we say elections have consequences, rule changes have consequences. They did that for Gorsuch. They did it for Kavanaugh. They did it for Barrett. This is what happens. And yeah. I think it's fine because I think that's what the Constitution says anyways.
Yeah, and I think for conservatives who are listening, this is not going to change the balance of the court. It might push the liberals more liberal. But
it could.
But I don't think it's going to push the court. It doesn't affect that there are six conservatives on the court right now with at least a conservative judicial philosophy. There's a little bit of a spectrum there, I would say, from Justice Roberts to Justice Alito. But, it's not going to change that. There's still going to be – so even if he – that may be part of his calculation too. He could probably retire without staying until the end because the makeup of the court right now is – you would still have six conservative votes.
Yeah. This is what Joe Biden said when he was running for president during the presidential debates.
Everyone should be represented. Everyone, no one's better than me, and I'm no better than anyone else. The fact is, what we should be doing, we talked about the Supreme Court. I'm looking forward to making sure there's a black woman on the Supreme Court to make sure we, in fact, get every representation. Not a joke. Not a joke. I pushed very hard for that.
So I think, look, it's fine. This is presidential prerogative, Harry. The president has the authority to nominate with the advice and consent of the Senate. And I agree with Jordan. I don't see it likely that Sinema or Congressman Senator Manchin are going to fight Joe Biden on that. I just don't see it.
I think that's probably right. I guess I would disagree with President Biden in terms of his insistence that melanin determines one's judicial philosophy. But if he really believes that, it will indeed be impossible to comply with that notion unless we expand the United States Supreme Court up to maybe 50 Supreme Court justices.
I think that's the end of the court packing, too, by the way. I don't think they're going to go back to that. They may, but not
well, this has to be their focus now.
They got
to
focus on
this. Because you can't – what you don't want to do with this – well, we say it's kind of a dud deal. I mean, it's a 51 votes.
Yes, right.
What you don't want to do is nominate somebody who hasn't been properly vetted and then have to pull them and then keep looking like a crisis president.
Right.
Who can't get his act together. So I think for the Biden team, this is a huge – decision, because they could get a win, pretty easy win,
yeah,
or they could cause disaster. And let me tell you something: Republicans remember what they did to Kavanaugh. Now, I wish there were more senators who I think were tough enough to take it to Democrats if they was willing to do. But that's why I'm saying you better vet this nominee, Joe Biden, because there's some anger left over from what they did to Brett Kavanaugh.
No, there is, but. It'll be very, very interesting. Hey, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes, and we want your calls. The importance of the Supreme Court for you and what the process is, or questions and comments you have, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're going to be, during the break, we'll be following this up and see what we can find.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.